Obviously, a big week in the world of women's basketball, the WNBA draft. Paige Bueckers goes number one. The Connecticut Sun had two first-round picks, and then another one, I believe, in the second round. And, you know, they're really reshaping the team. You have Tina Charles back in the fold. A lot to talk about. And we're glad and grateful for some time with Jennifer Rosati, president of the Connecticut Sun, here on Brian & Company. Jen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Thanks for giving us a few minutes. So, Anisha Morrow, Sanaya, and
Rivers,
yeah. And is it Raya Marshall?
And Raya Marshall, yeah. Yep.
So introduce, you know, like, again, like hardcore hoop fans may know them. I mean, you got some big brands, yes, in LSU and USC and NC State, but introduce them to us.
Okay, sure. My pleasure. I mean, we're really excited. I don't know how many people know it's kind of a full circle moment that the last time we had multiple first round picks, Morgan Tuck was one of the picks, and now she's our GM. So it was a really exciting night on Monday. We got to pick Anisha Morrow, was one of our top targets. She's a post player from LSU that led the country in rebounds and double doubles. A little bit undersized, but I feel like in the mold of Alyssa Thomas, who everybody knows from the Connecticut Sun history, we've had a lot of success with tough, you know, undersized post players that have a chip on their shoulder. Really feel like Anisha has a high ceiling. Sanaya Rivers is probably one of the more coveted wing players in the draft because she's about 6'1", 6'2", with, I think, a 6'5 wingspan. So really, really versatile guard. One of the only players in the country that had, like, over 100 assists, 50 blocks, and like a couple hundred rebounds. So she does it all. She's, again, we had a lot of teams trying to trade up for a pick to try to get her on the roster. So the fact that she was available at 8 right after Anisha was like a perfect scenario for us. And then we needed a little bit of depth in our post. Obviously, you mentioned Tina Charles. We're excited to have her back, as well as we have Olivia Nelson-Adona. So two, you know, Huskies, former Huskies in our front court, but Raya Marshall gives us some more depth there. Another post player that had a lot of length, played for successful USC team over the last couple of years, was all conference for a few times in the Pac-12. So really an ideal situation for us based on who was available and what our needs were. And we're just really, really excited to welcome all of them to Connecticut.
Now, the season starts at the end of May. When does camp open?
Yeah, camp opens up on April 27th, so we're really right around the corner. And then first game is May 18th, so it's going to be here before you know it. They don't have a whole lot of time to get drafted and then turn around, get back to Connecticut, and play their first WNBA game.
Yeah, it is a quick turnaround, and obviously you have a lot of players coming into camp and probably some hard decisions to make. I'm curious, the way you set up the draft, I don't know how transparent you can be, but –
yeah.
Was the original plan to go after AZ Fudd? And how, if so, if that were the plan, how tough was it to pivot when she decided to stay?
Yes, we would have loved if AZ had made the decision to come out and if she was available. I'm not sure after the NCAA tournament that she had.
Yeah, where do you think she would have gone? Where do you think she'd have been picked?
I don't know. You know, I think with Washington having, they had 3, 4, and 6, and they picked 2 guards. I think she would have went to Washington, especially because she's from Virginia, and it would have been a great fit. So I don't think that they would have let her fall below 6, but we would have been ready to take her at 7. You know, we don't typically have high draft picks because we're always so good.
Right.
So 7's been the highest draft pick we've had in a while, and we had to, like, trade to get it. So we were, you know, if there was a UConn player that was that good available, we definitely would have went that way. But fortunately, she did announce early enough, you know, like a lot of players waited until they had to announce, which is 48 hours after their last game. I think it would have been really hard for us if we thought she might be coming out right after the Final Four and then found out. But she let everybody know a few weeks ago. And so we were able to really hone in on who we wanted. And the fact that LSU and NC State played each other in the NCAA regionals, Morgan and I actually flew out to Spokane to see them play against each other. So we were pretty locked in on those two after we knew AZ wasn't going to be available.
We're talking with Jen Rosati, president of the Connecticut Sun here on Bryan and Company. Again, they had two first-round picks in the draft, and they're getting ready to go. I mean, listen, you're less than 2 weeks from camp opening, and really the season's right around the corner. I'm curious about Paige Becker's. You know, I felt like, I mean, Caitlin Clark created a buzz across the country. I don't know why, but I mean, my interpretation is some of the players in the WNBA kind of wanted to put her in her place. And I think that they worked hard to try to do that early on, and then they gave her a little. I don't know if there was an edict sent down, but then I think it eased off, and she proved herself some more, and things got better and better for her. But I don't feel the same animus toward Paige. But I also look at her, even though she's like 5'11", 6 feet, she seems very slight to me. And the physicality of the WNBA is real, right? I mean, I'm curious how you think it's going to work out for her. I mean, obviously she's a great player, but I think the physical side of it could be a real eye-opener.
Yes. I don't know that it'll be eye-opener because I think she knows that, right? I think she saw it last year with Caitlin. I think it's going to be very similar in terms of her needing some time to adjust to the physicality like Caitlin did. Caitlin spent 2.5 months trying to figure out. She had a month off for the Olympic break, and she came back a different player because she watched film and she was ready. I think Paige is going to be probably very ready for it, but it doesn't mean that like she's going to handle it perfectly from the beginning. I think the difference is that, Caitlin had to do a lot more for Indiana than Paige might have to do for Dallas. But it's a sign of respect when the veterans in the WNBA want to put you in your place. And the fact that they did that to Caitlin, and then they, I don't want to say they eased up, but they gave her her respect. I mean, they verbally, said, yeah, this kid's got it. I think that that's, a compliment. It'll be a compliment to Paige if nobody makes it easy for her. That's not because they don't think that they're great players. It doesn't mean that they don't like them. It just means that, hey, you're getting a lot of attention in a league where there's a lot of great players. We're going to make you earn your stripes. And Caitlin earned her stripes, and I think Paige will too. But I don't know that Paige will have to do as much for Dallas because of who she's surrounded by. So that might make it a little easier for her because even at UConn, as much as Geno pushed her to shoot more and hunt her shots and be aggressive, she was still always a team-first player. She still look to pass and get her teammates involved and make sure that they were all playing well and feeling good before she worried about herself. And that is going to serve her really well in the WNBA because her teammates are going to love that about her.
I think it's a great point because, I mean, Caitlin Clark has other elements to her game for sure, but she's a scorer, whereas Paige can be a playmaker and have a great game and have 8 points. I mean, so I think it's a really, really good point. Last quick question, May 27th. Now, it's great to have these signature dates. Caitlin Clark comes to town, you're going to sell out. Paige Beckers comes to town, you're going to sell out. My question is, has there been any discussion, because I was looking at seats this morning, and to move the game, whether it be to XL or to TD Garden or what have you, just not so much to profit off it or leverage it, but to give more people access to the opportunity to see it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, not for this year. I think we had made the decision to play up in Boston last year just to bring our game to, the Boston area. And like you said, have it accessible to more fans. And it worked out this year that the league gave us Indiana. We didn't actually request that. So I think now that we, 100% knew, because remember, we do this in October. So nobody knew if Paige was coming out. Nobody knew Dallas was getting the first round pick when we scheduled these games. So, now it's a discussion for next year, right? Like if we sell out the two, Dallas games, is that something that we would consider? And we've considered not just because of Paige or Caitlin, but just, the 9,000 seat capacity, like we want to be able to showcase our game at a higher level. And if the XL Center is something that works out, it certainly has been something we've talked about for sure. And so maybe next year we'll flex out of our building a few more times and see what happens and, make sure we're able to take advantage of the popularity of the WNBA right now.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, we so appreciate the time. I know it's your job and family and stuff. You got a lot of commitment. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me. Take care.